fills America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of tonight, Fox Spot travels to the Bluegrass Country, Louisville, Kentucky, to interview courageous flight nurses at Bowman Field, the Army Air Force School of Air Evacuation. These thoroughbred, all-trained nurses have the dangerous job of evacuating wounded men by air from the front line. And here are your two box toppers, Mark Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, sir, folks, this is Bob Johnson.
And this is Warren Hull with a 347 right in my pocket, too.
And these are the flight nurses of the Army Air Forces.
You know, folks, no matter how sick or wounded a man may be, he can be moved quickly and safely by air evacuation.
Yes, instead of days by plane or boat, it takes only hours by plane.
Of the 173,000 sick and wounded evacuated by the troop carrier command last year, only 11 patients were lost during flight.
Warren, I've just heard that there are over 200,000 safely evacuated at this time. And furthermore, the troop carrier command is the Army Air Force's organization that transports by air in combat theaters, fighting men, their weapons, and all their supplies. And, of course, that includes the air evacuation of wounded. First is a blue-eyed, fair-haired lass from old Scotland. She left there when she was a little girl of 9. Nearly 2 years an Army nurse, she's only 22 today. Not, I don't mean it's your birthday, but that's just 22. Just now, she's a little over halfway through a flight nurse's very stiff training course here at Bowman Field, and she's full of enthusiasm. Well, she's just full of enthusiasm. I wish you could meet her. I wish you could know her. She's from Yonkers, New York, Lieutenant Helen Logan. Hey. Feeling all right?
I feel fine, thank you, sir.
I bet you didn't recognize her.
I may be a nurse of the Army Nurse Corps, but here, a second lieutenant, but here I'm just a private, sir.
Just a private at the microphone. Very nicely said. But you're going to be a general when you get through with it, because we're going to graduate you in just a moment. You an only child in your family?
No, I have a sister, Jean, at home, and she's away.
Oh, that makes a swell team. How about the rest of your family?
Oh, there's Dad and there's Mother, and they're all over here, but everyone else is over in Scotland or England.
All the rest of your family over there?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Say, by the way, we almost forgot to tell you that sometime during the program, our alarm clock will ring, as per usual. And this time, we think we have a very interesting and a very fitting gift from the state in which we are. So listen for it. It may ring for you or a little later. Why'd you choose to be a flight nurse?
Well, I don't know. I've just always wanted to be one ever since I heard about the outfit itself.
Did you have to wait very long after you made your application?
I certainly did. One whole year and a little bit more.
A year you had to wait?
Yes, sir.
Was it worth it?
Oh, certainly. I'm loving every moment of it.
Uh-huh. That's what I meant by saying you are full of enthusiasm. You do love it, and I know. Say, I understand, though, that the qualification tests for getting in are very stiff.
Well, not any stiffer than for some other things that other girls take up, I don't think.
But how about that physical? You've got to take a stiff physical, just like any flying personnel. Then I don't know whether you know it or not, but you have to pass very careful mental and moral tests. You really have to go through stiff tests. Don't hand me that. I know. What are some of the work that you've covered here in your first 5 weeks?
Well, we've had aeromedical physiology. We've had field sanitation and very many funny experiences there, I assure you.
It must have been from the way that they're laughing out there.
Well, the star subject there is Captain Greenberg and his latrine.
Did you hear that, Captain? In other words, you work, don't you?
Oh, yes, we even dig ditches once in a while.
Well, we'll get into some more of that as we go along. These C-47 Douglas ambulance planes, how many wounded will they carry?
Well, you have your bracket ship, which will carry 18-liter patients, and then you'll have your strap ship with 24 patients.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not using all litters, why, you can seat many more in
Of course,
team.
Yes. You know what's ahead of you the next 2 or 3 weeks here?
Well, we're going on bivouac, and we're going on an infiltration course. And after 6 weeks of academics, I assure you, it's going to be quite a vacation for most of you.
You're looking forward, huh?
Yes, sir.
Why would you like to be sent? Say, they're right with you on this.
Well, I like to be sent anywhere, sir, where we have any action going on. And if you want action, I assure you Class 44D is going to give it to you.
Well, Lieutenant Helen Logan, wherever you go, we know you're going to be a touch of home to many, many of our wounded men. So good luck to you from all of us and all of those who are listening tonight. And Bromo Seltzer has for you a snazzy red jersey negligee.
Oh,
can you use it? Wait. Hold it a minute. That's not all. For your mother, because Mother's Day is here, a Jensen handmade sterling silver locket and something that we think you'll like, especially a big 2-ounce bottle of that very, very rare perfume, Chanel No. 5.
Oh.
All right, Warren. As usual, each person interviewed on the program will be sent by Vox Pop a record of their broadcast.
You know, folks, last week at Oklahoma City, we talked to the people who build the Douglas C-47. Tonight, we're talking to the nurses who fly in them. And standing here beside me, sort of close, in this huge hangar, is a flight nurse who's completed her training and is now waiting for her squadron to shove off for overseas. She's from Portland, Oregon, and used to work in the first aid station at the great Swan Island shipyards up there. Lieutenant Dorothy Barrow. Hey, Lieutenant, how did you get that schoolgirl complexion?
Did I get it on right?
Did you get it on right? No, I think that's natural. Say, we understand that not only do flight nurses volunteer, but if they lose interest or get tired of the work, they can leave it and go back to regular Army nursing. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, you've been through all the training. How do you feel about it?
I'll do it again.
You do it again?
Why, sure.
Well, do the rest of the girls feel that way, too, do you think?
We'll let them answer.
Yeah, stand up a little closer here so the people out in Portland will hear you.
All right.
Say, Fox and Lieutenant Logan were talking about the classroom work. How about work in the field? That is, aside from what Lieutenant Logan said she did in the field.
We did that, too.
Well, you did? Well, now, aside from that, which part did you like?
Bivouac.
You did? Why?
Well, it was the most fun.
Mm-hmm. What happened on bivouac?
Well, the main thing was we had to move in the middle of the night.
Well, what happened? Tell us about it.
Well, the hardest part of it was the fact that we didn't have things gathered together as we should have in odds and ends, clothing, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But we thought we did a good job until we got back the next day and we found several things on the branches.
Missing. Well, how, why did you have to move in the night?
The theoretical enemies were approaching.
Mm-hmm. And you had to move in complete darkness, or could you light candles, or what?
We didn't have any lights.
No lights at all. Well, I can see where you missed some things then. That must have been a scramble. Well, now that you've been through it, do you have any suggestions for, changes in equipment?
Decidedly. An automatic pup tent.
An automatic pup tent. Well, I think you're not the only one in the Army who'd like one of them. Say, what else happens in bivouac?
We have a compass problem.
What happens
on
that?
We have a compass, and that's all.
Yes.
And we're supposed to find certain points. On our problem, we had 4 points to find. All the girls did well, except that some of them that were supposed to start out last came in first. They found the last point first.
Oh. So well, they were smart. It seems to me that you're taught to live and travel and take care of yourselves in strictly GI fashion. Where would you like to serve overseas?
In India.
Why?
Well, I don't know. We know the people in England and so on, but we don't know the people from the Southwest Pacific.
Oh, land of mystery, huh?
Right.
Well, you picked out a faraway enough place. We hope you get there. And we know that wherever you go, you'll do a wonderful job with our wounded men. We want to thank you, Lieutenant. And by way of thanks, Bromo Seltzer has for you this solid gold ring with the insignia of the Air Corps on it and a black file Elizabeth Arden fitted cosmetic kit lined with cerise satin and a traveling clock in a leather case with a luminous dial and sweep second hand, and... Oh, wait a minute, that's not all. And an alarm in it in case the bugle doesn't go off some morning. Also, something your patients might like. We got it at an old curiosity shop. It's a low, comfortable chair, a reclining chair. Where is it, Dave? Huh? That was quite a chair. Folks, you remember last Monday when we were at Douglas Aircraft, Oklahoma City, We told you about the war bond drive by the druggists of Oklahoma to raise enough money to buy six C-47 ambulance planes. Well, we have a telegram which says the war bond drive for ambulance planes now totals $148,000 in addition to your last Monday's report on Box Pop. Oklahoma druggists tell us they'll go over the top. Isn't that wonderful?
Folks, Bromo Seltzer has been popular for over 50 years, so it's not surprising that we get letters like this one from Mrs. C.C. Anderson of New York City, who writes,
"As a small child, one of my darkest memories is of those occasional tiptoe days when my mother had a common sick headache. Sometimes she'd suffer so that she'd have to go to bed. One of those times a neighbor happened to come in. She took one look at Mother, went to the drugstore, and got something that came in a big blue bottle. I was fascinated by the way it fizzed and asked what it was. Bromo Seltzer, she told me. And I've never forgotten that name, even though I had a hard time pronouncing it at that early age. Mother was so delighted with the quick, effective relief it gave her that from then on, the blue Bromo Seltzer bottle became a familiar sight in our medicine chest. Years later, when I married, one of the first things that went into our medicine chest was Bromo Seltzer. We've never been without it since, because I know from both my mother's and my own experience, there's nothing better for quick, effective relief from an ordinary sick headache than Bromo Seltzer."
Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. And friends, you'll be wise to keep Bromo Seltzer in your medicine cabinet, too. Get a bottle from your druggist tonight, sure.
Thanks, Paul Brunson, and thanks, Mrs. Anderson, for that nice letter. You know, this air evacuation nurse who's with me now spent 14 months flying wounded from various battlefronts in the South Pacific. Of her 600 hours in the air, 400 of them are combat hours. With other members of her squadron, she wears the Air Medal with two oak leaf clusters. Small, vigorous, friendly, a real nurse from Chinatown, Mississippi, Lieutenant Cora E. Connolly. Say, Lieutenant, am I right that you were the first nurse assigned here to Bowman Field?
Yes, I arrived here October 9th.
Way back in 42?
Right.
And I don't know whether I've mentioned it or not, but Bowman Field is the first and only school of this kind in the whole world. So you really make the beginning of things around here. Are you more at home, any more at home like you, small, you know?
Oh, yes, the whole family's very small.
All very small? Uh-huh. Any sisters, brothers?
One brother.
In the forces, tall or young?
He's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Say, when did you go overseas?
January 22nd, 1943.
Can you tell me from what battle areas you flew wounded men?
From Guadalcanal, New Georgia, Bougainville, Bella La Bella, and Treasure Island.
Gee, you've been all over that place down there, haven't you? What was your first flight, do you remember?
If
you could forget it, huh?
My first flight was into Guadalcanal, March 9th, 1943.
All quiet at that time?
Well, fairly.
Fairly quiet. Well, later on, you moved your tent up to Guadalcanal, and you live there, isn't that right?
Not all the time. 5 days out of seven, we spent here.
Pretty quiet then, too, I suppose.
Not exactly. Bombings practically every night.
Bombings? You mean back then, huh?
Yes.
Well, how far was it from your foxhole to where you slept?
Not very far when you got in a hurry.
Did you ever get in a hurry?
Several times.
You've really been through the bombing. Well, now, let's talk about evacuation of the wounded in that area. How soon, let's say, after a battle, after landing on an island or something, how soon did you get up there with your plane?
Just as soon as the CBs had the strip there, the first landing.
Well, that wasn't long if the CBs wanted, was it?
That's right.
No. And, well, that means then that you must have gone there many times under fire. Is that right?
Yes, on all those strips we did.
The enemy all around you?
That's right.
Did you see them close to you?
Yes, in Vella La Vella, we saw several dogfights off the other end of the island.
Mm-hmm. And you picked them up regardless, huh? Oh, I bet the boys were delighted to see you. And they had to behave when they saw these American nurses coming up.
Well, I don't know whether they were afraid of us or we were afraid of them.
So now you've gone to kidding with me, haven't you? What do the men talk about the wounded when you have them in the air? I know sometimes they're seriously wounded, but others maybe are not.
Oh, they always talk about their girls back home or their wives and show us their pictures and so forth.
Say anything about the Japs?
Oh, no, we don't talk about that very much.
You want them to get away from it as fast as possible.
That's right.
Lieutenant Connolly, we could talk, of course, for hours and hours about your experience down there. We just wanted folks to meet a real air evacuation nurse, typical of all air evacuation nurses. And to you now, from Bromo Seltzer, a thing or two to show our appreciation. First, it's a red piped white jersey house coat, if I can describe anything a woman wears. Look at it. All right? And second...
Wow.
Wait a minute. Not true yet. Second, we've got a sterling silver cigarette case for those cigarettes you smoke. And third, something we hope you can use while you're here instructing, a table model radio, which will really take a...
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Connolly.
Mark, and Lieutenant Connolly, just a moment, please. Will you stay here just a moment? Colonel John R. McGraw, Commandant of the Air Evacuation School, has a few words to say to you, Lieutenant Connolly. Come over here, Colonel.
Lieutenant Connolly, I have been delegated by His Honor, Simeon Willis, Governor of Kentucky, to present you with this. It reads, in recognition of her outstanding work as a flight nurse in the South Pacific area, where she has been decorated for bravery, and to her, as representative of all flight nurses in their important military work, I have today with pleasure appointed Lieutenant Cora E. Connolly of Tylertown, Mississippi, an aide-de-camp on my staff with the rank and grade of Colonel. Signed, Simeon Willis, Governor.
She's a little bit overwhelmed by that. Folks, we want you to meet a flight nurse who was overseas in the opposite direction to that of, Colonel Connolly. This charming young woman was in the Mediterranean Theater. Now she's here as an instructor in flight training. Detroit, Michigan is her home. Lieutenant Jean Rutkowski. Lieutenant, what did you do before becoming a flight nurse?
Before I came as a flight nurse, I was with PWA as a hostess.
Oh, what was your run?
I flown from Kansas City to New York.
Mm-hmm. How many hours did you have?
About 2,500.
Well, you feel right at home in a C-47,
oh,
huh?
I certainly do.
Well, what was your run over in the Mediterranean?
In the Mediterranean, we flew, evacuated from Italy back to Sicily and North Africa.
Mm-hmm. How about your passengers? Did they give you as much trouble as the ones used to on PWA?
Oh, the passengers were the finest. We didn't have as much trouble. One thing that you don't find, that's air sickness among them. Because you'd always get on the airline.
You never had to get out that little paper container once, did
you? No, you didn't bring that out.
What was your first impression of your passengers over there?
Well, if I can put it bluntly, they just sat there and grinned like a bunch of hyenas. They just grinned.
Well, of course, they were
seeing
delighted. You for the first time.
Oh, no, that wasn't it. They were so delighted they were being evacuated.
Yes. How close to the front did you go?
Well, on a few trips, we had gone up to Naples when the front was just about 6 miles ahead. But at such times, well, they would give us a fighter escort to and from the field.
Well, because German planes were all around, huh?
I guess so.
I say, about this instruction in flight training, what do you do?
Well, I assist Captain Bell with the flight training here.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, we train the doctors and the nurses and the enlisted men, the surgical technicians, how to carry out the procedures on the ship and try to familiarize them with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course of it, we finally train them into doing simulated evacuations where they use a classroom as a hospital. And from this classroom, we have the patients taken in ambulance to the field where they go up and nursing procedures are carried out. And then they're brought down again and taken back to the hospital.
Well,
another hospital.
Who are the patients?
Some of the nurses and surgical technicians.
Oh, they
take turns at it.
I see. Well, now, when you're up there in the plane, you go along with them, of course.
Yes, Captain Bell or I.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do they do while they're up there in flight?
Well, when they're up in flight, they have the different nursing procedures, such as setting up plasma, giving oxygen, restraining patients, setting adjusting splints, leg splints, arm splints, stabilizing them so that they will sway with the ship and not about.
I see. Well, then you actually do everything up there that you might be called upon to do in flight.
Yes, they're prepared mm-hmm. for every emergency.
Well, what's the most important thing that you try to teach the girls?
To make themselves at home in the ship and learn how to just carry out all the procedures as if they would be doing it on the ground.
I see. And they get that way by the end of their training?
Oh, they certainly do.
Say, by the way, after the war, do you want to go back to TWA?
I certainly do. Yes, I do.
You mean New York to Kansas City?
Oh, no. I'd like to go on the Intercontinental Division. Fly out of New York.
Where?
South America.
Oh, I see. Here's a young lady with an eye to the future. Well, thanks, Lieutenant. You have done and are doing a grand job. It was swell talking to you. Roma Seltzer has for you a solid gold identification bracelet and a set of cufflinks to match. Also, a beautiful stitched saddle leather riding portfolio. It's leather lined with all sorts of compartments in it. And because you love music, a Victor album of the great concerto in A minor with Arthur Rubinstein and the Philadelphia Symphony.
Oh, my word.
Wait a minute. Say that one. You hadn't left the microphone, had you? No, you hadn't. Parks didn't get up here with the next girl. So you get the gift on the alarm clock, and you know what it is? It's a great, big, delicious, juicy Kentucky ham. How do you like that? Sorry that we haven't some of those traditional biscuits to go with it. You take that back and have a good time with that.
No two ways about it, folks. There's just no sense in suffering the miseries of a common sick headache. Not when our talking Vox Pop train can tell you what to do for quick, effective relief.
Fight headache three ways.
That's well worth remembering, friends. Fight common sick headache three ways with Romo Seltzer. For of course it isn't always just the pain in your head that makes you feel so miserable. That torturous throbbing may be accompanied by jumpy nerves and a queasy, upset stomach as well. And for that three-way misery, you want three-way relief. In short, Romo Seltzer.
Romo Seltzer quickly relieves those throbbing head pains.
Romo Seltzer quickly helps calm jittery nerves.
Romo Seltzer helps settle upset stomach. You can take Romo Seltzer while it's fizzing or after it settles down. Use as directed on the package. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But for quick, effective relief from the miseries of an ordinary sick headache, take a Romo Seltzer. Feel better fast.
Fight headache three ways.
Romo Seltzer train is always on time with good advice. Folks, next is another flight nurse who has graduated, and with her squadron, she may be going to the front most any old time. She doesn't know, and I don't, but she's ready. She was a United Airlines stewardess, a real air veteran, and a real nurse. We want you to know her from Kirkland, Illinois, Lieutenant Jean McQueen. Two Scotch lasses on the program with us tonight. Who's at home? Your home?
My mother.
Uh-huh. No brothers, sisters?
No brothers or sisters.
How many hours have you had in the air? You were with United.
About 4,800.
4,800 hours
in
the air?
Right.
Really?
That's
right. That's more hours than a whole lot of pilots who fought this whole war through will have when they get back. Gee whiz, you really are a veteran. I didn't realize I was talking to such an old-timer up here. And on your questionnaire, I noticed that you said one thing that interested me very much. We asked what has been your outstanding experience. You answered, my training here at Bowman Field. Has it really been that interesting?
It certainly has.
Well, what are some of the things that you've enjoyed?
Well, I can't begin to tell you all of them.
Well, how about the drill? Did you like drill?
Very much.
Really?
You bet.
Uh-huh. Well, now, how about air medicine? It's different, isn't it?
Oh, I've learned a lot that I didn't know when I was flying before.
It is quite different up in the air than
taking
them on the ground. You're equipped up there to take care of any and all type cases, isn't that right?
That's right.
And have you studied plane recognition?
Yes, we've had quite some time in that.
How about camouflage?
Some camouflage.
Uh-huh. Well, how about survival? Suppose you're down in the desert, in the ocean. You taught about all those things?
Yes, Lieutenant Merritt's given us quite an extensive course in survival.
Well, did you enjoyed that too, huh?
That we did.
Well, they've taught you about parachutes, haven't they?
We learned about parachutes.
Everything but jumping in them. And I know the infiltration course. You loved that, didn't you?
Oh, I was crazy about that.
Seriously? You mean with live ammunition going over you?
Certainly.
How long was that course?
Well, they said it was 75 yards, so it looked like 175 to me.
It was a long way away. By the way, did you go through it on your back or on your stomach?
Well, we tried a little of each.
Both ways, huh? Now, we know these amphibious planes can you use for ambulances carry cargo up the front lines. I've always been curious to know how long it takes them after they unload the cargo to turn it into an ambulance plane.
Well, I think the record time is 6 minutes and 40-some seconds.
Gee, you mean turn it into an ambulance plane that fast?
That's right.
That's going some. Any particular place you'd like to go when you get through here?
No.
Just anywhere there's something
to do? Just anywhere.
Oh, and wherever you go, we wish you luck, too, the same as we do all you flight nurses. And from Bromo Seltzer, some things we hope you like and hope you'll never forget us. First, a sterling silver cap, Waterman pen and pencil set. Second, hold it, I got two more things here. Second, a regulation officer's beige summer uniform. Can you use that? Oh, fine. And for morale building at the dances and entertainments that you have over there for those men, a smart turquoise blue evening dress. Oh.
Thank you very much. Oh, wait a minute. Hold it here.
Not knowing which way you are going when you leave here, we have something else for you. It's a fan and a hot water bottle. Take your choice.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, Lauren.
Folks, here's a young fellow, only 22, who came over from Nichols General Hospital here at Louisville. Why a man on this program? Well, this one was a fighter pilot shot down over Sicily and taken out by ambulance plane. He was hit in more places than most men are who live to tell a tale. But Army doctors have done well by him, and we're mighty glad that he can be with us tonight. From Athens and Columbus and all those parts up around there in Ohio, Lieutenant Richard E. Cohn. Dick, what were you flying over there?
We were flying P-40s.
Were you lead man or wingman?
I was wingman.
You know, we've never talked to a wingman. What's his principal job?
Well, his job is to stay about 200 yards behind the lead plane and protect his tail and all the rest of the tails of the fellows around you.
Oh, I see. Well, you have to do all that, keep your position behind the lead man, all that at the same time?
Yes, that's right.
Well, suppose you're distracted for a moment.
Well, that happened to me twice over there. I was following my leader and turned around to see some German airplanes behind me, and my leader flopped off and started home. And when I turned around, he was gone and left me with three German airplanes.
Oh, that's not so good, is it? Say, last week, Howard Butts, who was flying out in China, told about hearing another pilot tell over his radio about the Jap Zeros after him. Did you ever hear anything like that?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of talk going on the radio all the time. Once I heard one boy in our flight call to another, and he said, hey, Jones, come on down. I'm having some fun. I got five of them cornered down here.
Five of them cornered. Say, tell us about your evacuation by air. What was it like?
Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of the fellas hadn't been up in an airplane before, and they were pretty well scared. And there was enemy airplanes reported in the air around us. And
What did the flight nurse do?
Well, I think she was a little scared, but she didn't let the other fellas know it.
Oh. She really did. She did a job with them, huh? Did they keep her busy?
Oh, yes. They'd run around there, and one of them would holler and tell her he wanted some water, and then another would say, oh, shut up. You just want to talk to the nurse, and things like that.
Oh, they were in pretty high spirits, were they?
Yeah, it was just like a party.
Oh, good. Well, look, I'm sorry that we can't talk any more about that now, Dick. We don't have time, but we want to thank you for representing all the patients who have reason to be grateful to flight nurses. Bromo Seltzer has for you a Remington Electric razor and a suit of summer officer's whites with hat. Also, for your next... Isn't that a beauty? I can see these girls are closed conscious here. Also, for your next expected, a complete layette with all sorts of tiny garments, including sweaters, shirts, booties, caps, blankets, seats, and 24 diapers. Thanks for listening. Richard E. Cohn.
Well, that's all, folks. First, though, our sincere thanks to Colonel R.H. Wheat, Commanding Officer of Bowman Field, and, of course, to Colonel John McGrew, whom you heard a while ago, head of the School of Air Evacuation, and Lieutenant Rosdick's whole public relations group.
You know, these flying nurses are becoming more and more essential as this war continues. We wish we could talk longer with them, but Box Pop must head for Camp Endicott, Davisville, Rhode Island.
It's a base of the Navy Seabees, and since invasions are launched from CB-constructed points, we'll have some exciting stories from them for you next week. So tune in. See you next Monday. Good night.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Box Pop, the show that travels America, next week when Fox and Warren visit Davisville, Rhode Island, and France. Remember, your druggist has unusual problems these days. He may not always have exactly the size you want in every product, and it will help if you can accept those he has. That's all. Try to be patient and remember.
Fight headache! Three waves!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcast.